Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Sacrifice, life. Sometimes that happens when we're in worship, and for all of you who are like, oh, I apologize, but it's just, you know, we are in such a place right now where we just have to just be so open to Him.
Amen.
You know, miracles don't happen in a perfect setting. They happen in dark, hard places. That's where the miracles happen. Lord, we believe in our hearts, Lord God, that you are moving, that you are going to move.
Amen.
For every single person in this place, Lord God. And Lord, we just break our hearts open to you, Lord God. And that would just be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you, Lord God. It would be pleasing to you, Lord.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think I'll just take a moment to thank God for how He provides for us every one of our needs. We don't pass a plate for our offering, for what we give back to God for His provisions for us. We have a basket in the back. I'd like to pray over that if I could. Lord, thank you for how you provide for us.
Amen.
We slow down in life just enough to see how you provide for us. Lord, you take care of all of our needs and then some. Lord, we ask that you would multiply what we in our hearts are giving back to you. may it go exactly where, to the places it needs to go, to continue your work, to supply someone else's needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a little story, I guess. We have a TV set outside the back of our home, and it seems that we've always had a TV set out the back somewhere outside of our home. And it started mainly because I am an Eagles fan, Philadelphia Eagles fan. And when Reggie White went to Green Bay Packers up in Minnesota, and it gets really cold up there, and they get a lot of snow up there. And I had found through some investigative work that Green Bay Stadium is right in the middle of a residential neighborhood, not like Philly at all. You can be driving down this residential road, and your GPS says the stadium's there, and you can't see it yet. You're just driving through these homes, and then all of a sudden, it's there. And people pay to park, because there's not enough parking there. So everybody that lives nearby opens up their front lawns, and they all have these parties. And those that don't have tickets watch their games outside in the snow on their TV sets. So a long time ago, I put a TV set outside. I figured they can do it, I can do it. So I watch all my games outside, no matter what the weather is. So we have a TV box there that runs a TV set. And behind the TV box, on a ledge, up on top of the TV set, there is a family of doves that insist on building a nest behind that TV box every year. And every year I am faithful to destroy the nest before they can lay their eggs, before they can get in it, because I'm afraid they're just going to go to the bathroom all over the TV box. And it's going to be hard to replace that. That's not much of an excuse to get a new box, because I let a bunch of birds do their business on it. This year, 3 days in a row, I went out and this nest was being built. And I said something to Rosemary. I had trashed it every day. And she said, oh, let them go. And she came out and the nest was already being built again. So I let it go, and we got to know this mother and father. I even witnessed after about a month now, a month and a half, when they switch. And it is really cool. So they've gotten my heart.
And they let us get very close.
Yeah, the one comes to the shed, stands on the roof, makes some noises, waddles down the shed, tries to look, lands on the ground, looks up, they see each other. She goes up, he goes up. I've gotten to know the difference between a male and a female, too. And they'll both stand there, look at the nest, and the one will make sure the other one gets on there before it flies off. And I don't know, they probably don't see each other again for 12, 14 hours, but they're very perseverant on those eggs. Now, Google is not always right. It tells me within 14 days they can hatch these eggs. They were sitting on these eggs for at least a month, because I would get a little closer than I should, and they would run off, and I'd be like, ah, good. I jump up, and I look, two eggs still, no babies. Well, we came home yesterday, and we always walk by, and she's me. It's a habit of hers. She'll stop. She'll, hey, Mama. You know, and the dove looks at you. They're not, if you don't get too close, they'll sit here and you know, allow you to look at them, they look at you. And lo and behold, there's two babies, and they got the rough feathers already, and they're there with Mom, and they persevered. I want to bring this full circle. I'm sitting here, and outside here we have a bird house. There's at least two babies in that bird house now. And God knows exactly what they need. It's a perfect little, they have a mom or a dad. I've seen him or her show up twice during the worship. She can't quite reach the hole, and their heads are there, so she gets up as high as she can, and she feeds them. And they are comfortable, they are warm, they are safe, and they have everything they need. And I'm thinking, as having a personality, a person, life can be scary sometimes, or life can be exciting sometimes. There's two birds in there, and what's to make me not believe they have personalities? One could be very excited that someday it's going to be able to fly out that hole. and be everything it's supposed to be. And the other one could be sitting there and going, I don't want to leave this home. I don't want to leave this little home I got here. And could be very nervous and scared about falling out, possibly flying or flying. But God knows exactly the right time. And if need be, that mother or father bird is going to go in there and kick that little guy out of there. And he's going to fly. And I was just thinking of my own life, and some things are very nervous, and I know God wants me to move forward. And if he has to, he'll push me into it, knowing full well he has my back, that it's all going to be fine, and I'm going to make it, and I'm going to become stronger, and I'm going to do everything that needs to be done, that the purposes he has for my life. And I just thought I would share that. It was a reflection on what we're dealing with at home with a family of birds, and this one here, and I just know that God takes care of us even when we're too nervous to go forward. We have our online Bible study still going on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. The Zoom number is 869-3414-4657. And we have a 24-hour worship event coming up June 11th and 12th, and I guess there'll be more information about that coming up shortly. Dave?
So good morning, everybody. Thank you, Kat, for the time of worship. It's always a little easier to share once we know that we're already in the presence of God. So I just want to jump right in. And you know, they say that repetition is a key to learning. So we tend to repeat things sometimes fairly often. And what happens, even as we look at new principles and new ideas, it's good for us to repeat and to build on the principles that we've already heard. You might not recognize or know Romans 10:17 just by chapter and verse, but if I were to say, faith comes by hearing, you might respond,
hearing by the word of God.
And hearing by the word of God. We've talked a lot about that. And we're going to look at faith again today, perhaps from a little bit different perspective. In Luke 17:5, the apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Now, it's a little out of context there, because when they said increase our faith, they were talking about the ability to forgive over and over unconditionally. But we're gonna take a look at our faith overall. And you know, isn't that what we often focus on? We have wonderful worship that brings us into the presence of God. We dig into the Word of God. So we focus on how we would increase our faith, what we can do to increase our faith. But today I want to ask, do we really need to increase our faith? Because in Matthew 17:20, Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. One of the problems that we have is if we try and focus on increasing our faith, the focus is on ourselves, on what we can do. And our faith then is dependent on self. And so if our faith is resting on ourselves, on what we can do, and on our abilities, then our faith can only be as big as we are. Our faith shouldn't be based there on what we can do. One of the lyrics of a song that we sometimes sing says something like, in this tiny room, there's a great big God. And what we really need then is a small amount of faith in the great big, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. We need to focus not on the size of our faith, but rather on the greatness of God. Rather than focusing on faith, I think we need to focus on God's faithfulness. And I want to look at a couple accounts of that, at how the faithfulness of God increased the faith of some people in the Bible. 1 Samuel 17:32-36 is part of a very familiar account. It's when David faced Goliath. And this excerpt, verses 32 to 36 says, David said to Saul, "May no one's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are only a youth, while he's been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I went out and after it and attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he's defied the armies of the living God." David's faith that he could be victorious over Goliath really didn't have anything to do with his ability. Like the rest of the warriors, he saw this giant. He knew that in his own strength, he was no match for the giant. But his faith was based on the experience of God's faithfulness. It was God's faithfulness that had given him the victory over the lion and the bear. He believed because he knew God is faithful. You know, Saul said David couldn't do it. But David's faith wasn't based on his ability, but rather God's faithfulness. It was based on God's ability and God's reliability. And in Numbers 13, 25 through all the way through 14:10, a fairly long account here. This is when the spies were sent into the land to spy it out to see if they should enter in after they had come out of Egypt. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they went on and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they reported to him and said, "We came into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And indeed, we saw descendants of Anak there, and Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are all living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will certainly prevail over it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people because they are too strong for us." They brought a bad report of the land which they had spied out to the sons of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are of great stature. We also saw Nephilim there. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were in their sight." Then all the congregation raised their voices and cried out, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the entire congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or even if we had died in this wilderness, so why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection is gone from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. So the faith of Joshua and Caleb that God would give them the land. It wasn't based on their strength as warriors, because the Israelites had just come out of Egypt. This was before they spent 40 years in the wilderness. They were fresh out of Egypt where they were slaves. But their faith that God could deliver them, that God could give them that land, was based on their experience of God's ability, of His faithfulness in giving them the victory over the Egyptians. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? They believed that if God could defeat the powerful Egyptian army, He could defeat the other armies, the other towns as well. And I want us to look a little bit prior to that at something else that affected the faith of the others who spied out the land, and perhaps the faith of the rest of the Israelites. In Numbers 13, 1 through 20, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out men for yourselves to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. Skipping down to verse 17, it says, when Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the Negev, and when they go up into the hill country, see what the land is like. Now God said already that the land was good. Moses says, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, or whether they're few or many. He wasn't concerned with the strength of the people or how many there was. And how is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are the people in open camps or in fortification? And how is the land? Is it productive or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Show yourselves courageous and get some of the fruit of the land. You see, God said it was good land. God said He was going to give it to them. God said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But Moses introduced doubt, because he said, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they're few or many, whether it's fortified. Like Saul had done to David, Moses actually discouraged the spies and the rest of the people by adding to what God said, by giving a human perspective to God's ability. You know, and in the same way, our faith can be affected by the words of other people, even well-meaning people. You know, people can cause us to fear and to doubt. And people will always set the bar lower, much lower than what God wants to do for us and with us. Because people in their natural abilities can only see as much as can be done in human strength. God wants us to do much more than that. In John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says that we will do the works that He did in greater works. It's not, though, because we're great. It's because in the end of that portion of Scripture, He says, whatever you ask, I will do it. So it's not our own ability. It's the faithfulness and the ability of God. You know, and how often, after we work at building up our faith, after we do all that we can, we read the Word of God, we get into positive worship, We work and we build up our faith, and then something comes along and challenges that faith. What takes a long time to build up to a certain level can get torn down pretty quickly in a moment. You know, it's easy to have faith and to believe until stuff gets real. How many know that? Difficult circumstances come along, a bad report. It hits us like a punch in the gut. You know, we're feeling good. We're walking out in strength. We think we got this, but it comes along and it hits you right here. And it causes you to look down instead of looking up. We need to focus on God's faithfulness. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 14, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm." The first thing we do, "Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth." See, the belt of truth in the Roman warrior's armor was something that covered his midsection, so that punch in the gut couldn't affect him. We need to put on the truth of God's word, so that whether well-meaning people or whether lies of the devil, nothing can get us to have our eyes off of Him and our focus on Him. Truth is what we need to put on. And if truth is the basis of our faith, then our faith is as big as the Word of God and as big as God Himself. So as we wind down today, if it's not our faith that we should be increasing, what should our focus be on? What's our part? Rather than trying to increase our faith, we should work at increasing our faithfulness. God's faithfulness is unwavering. Maybe not so much ours. Ours needs to be cultivated. In Psalm 37, 3 to 6, the psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your judgment as noonday." Our faithfulness needs to be cultivated. A couple weeks ago, Matt shared a teaching that was based on Matthew 13, the parable of the sower and the seed. And the short version, the explanation that God's word is the seed, and the soil is the condition of the hearts of those who hear it. And Matt shared that day three principles that we need to understand about the condition of our hearts. The condition to receive the seed of God's word. And first, we need to be intentional to understand. You know, it's not enough just to simply hear the word. We need to understand what it really means, so that we can apply it in our lives. The second thing was that we need roots. And Matt gave us an illustration of a potted plant being limited in size to the pot that it's in. It can only get as big as that pot will allow it, as big as its roots can spread. But if we're planted, then our roots can spread deep and wide, and we can grow without limit. The third thing that he shared that day is that we need to make time. We need to make time to read the word and to fellowship with God, to be present with him. As the psalmist says, to delight in the Lord. So these are parts of cultivating our faithfulness. And faithfulness doesn't grow naturally. Many of you might know that I post a daily devotional blog every day. And since I started in 2014, I haven't missed more than a few days for a few different reasons. And I want to share that not because I'm boasting in my faithfulness, but because in reality, the reason I do it is because I know my own weakness. You see, throughout my life, I've always tried to be faithful, to set aside time every day to meditate on the Word of God. But if I rely on myself, I find that things can easily get in the way. And sometimes it can be a couple days, sometimes a couple weeks, that I kind of fall short. So it's my weakness, knowing myself, that I made the commitment to share in my meditation. I continue to write and share every day because of, not because of my faithfulness, but to continue to cultivate my faithfulness so that I don't allow anything to keep me from the Word. You know, if you're familiar, if you've ever had a garden, you know that uncultivated ground can become hard and unfruitful pretty quickly. And if we don't cultivate faithfulness in our lives, we too can become hard and unfruitful. As we cultivate our faithfulness, our faith, though, also increases. Because as we spend that time with the Lord, as we spend time in His Word, as we delight in the Lord, we become aligned with His Word and with His will. But the cultivation of our faithfulness is about more than just spending time in the Word and spending time with God. It's also about doing what He says and what it says. Again, anyone who's ever had a garden knows that you don't just throw out the seeds and get a harvest. That soil needs to be constantly cultivated, continually, to remove weeds, to keep it soft and well-watered. And so, too, does our faithfulness need constant cultivating. Day after day, week after week, and year after year. Cultivate faithfulness. I want to return as we close today to God's faithfulness. And one of the other ways that we can focus on God's faithfulness is to share with each other what God has done. So I just wanted to allow a little bit of time for us, if there's anybody that has a testimony of God's faithfulness that happened this week or recently. Increase our faith.
I have a quick one. Sorry. Maybe not quick. 6 months ago,
okay.
The Lord said, I had heard from a friend, they were down with an employee. And so it was Sunday morning before church, and I heard him say, text your friend and tell him you'll volunteer. And I didn't know it. I was like, I'm arguing. I'm sorry. Summertime, he told me, just, you know, rest, relax, be still, enjoy, you know? Now, what is this? But anyway, so he, 3 times in a row, in a minute, this is like you know, Peter saying, feed my sheep. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Okay, fine. I'm going to volunteer. And I ended up with a full-time job. And it's been fabulous. For the last 6 months, I have been so functional. Like, never before has it been this functional. Work 40-hour week and drive 45 minutes each way and get the work done and get the accounting done, because it happened to be my position that they were down one person. So I don't know how much longer it's going to last. But, you know, because... there you go. But anyway, that's God's faithfulness.
He is
so
faithful.
I can't wait to see what he's got next, or if he keeps going or whatever. So we'll see.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It's going to seem very simple, but I believe it was God. Google just might be right about the birds. Okay. Because somebody at work, I was telling them, anybody that knows me knows I love animals. In some cases, more than a lot of people. I love the creatures, I like snakes, I just love God's creation. And a friend of mine at work was saying the same thing he told me about, you know, oh, if they didn't hatch by now, they're probably not fertile. So then Keith looked, and it said, you know, when the parents aren't there, you can actually look with a flashlight.
On the back side of the egg.
On the back side of the egg, and you'll be able to see if it is fertile or empty or whatever. So every day this mama was so faithful, and I saw the dad once. And every day going to work, I stop and I bless her, and I would tell her, you know, I'm going to pray for her, and, you know, I talk to her. And then on the way home, I stop and hi, Mama, you know, and I was just amazed how close I was able to get to her. And So I prayed one day that the Lord would bless this dove couple and grant them the fertile eggs and these babies that they are working so hard for. And then I came home to see Keith and all this. And I came home and he said to me, "You are not going to believe there's babies." I never told him. I just said, "Lord, you're so good." And so I said, "Told you, Mama."
God
was faithful, even to the doves. Go ahead. It's so funny that you're talking about animals, because I think a lot of times in our lives, things, circumstances can make us feel really isolated. And for me, I have to talk to a lot of therapists for both my kids. And I have a behavioral therapist that comes to our home for one of my sons every week, and we have to talk about all behaviors and blah, blah, blah. But I like to kind of shift it, because it's exhausting to talk about a lot of times, what's going on in your life. And she has this horse, she loves this horse named Shamrock. And she goes to the stable, she rides Shamrock, like she knows all it. And I just listen to everything she says about her horse. And one week she said that her horse was really, really, really sick, was probably going to die. And I'm like, and I felt like what you were talking about, the Lord speak directly. And I'm like, I know it's a little weird, but would you be okay if we pray for your horse right now? Because a lot of times we say we're going to pray for people, but it's like when you're doing it right then and there. And this was right in my home, and we prayed for Shamrock. I just listened to the Spirit. You know, we spoke healing to every cell. You know, I just did it, and I don't know what she thought. And she's like, and I opened my eyes, and she like had tears in her eyes. And she's like, "Thank you. Okay, thank you." So the next week, she said to me, "When you prayed for my horse, like when I was at the hospital, I just felt like I should just get in the parking lot and get on my knees and pray." And she did that, and the horse is completely okay. And I think what's so cool about that story is a lot of times we're like, "Well, how can I affect people?" It's like, there's so much going on, and I'm not going on the streets and all that. And it's just like, the Lord's just like, just love the person in front of you. And it's like, a lot of times I'm just talking to therapists, but the Lord did something right there in my kitchen, and it was a horse. So,
amen.
I felt that was cool.
To piggyback off what you're saying, Keith and I watched a movie the other night called The Land. I don't know if anybody's seen it. Short summary, it's about a woman who lost her husband and child in a terrible shooting. And she just could not pick it back up together again. She became very depressed and suicidal for many years and tried to take her life. And her sister told her, she was very close to her sister, and she just said, "Please don't hurt yourself. If anything, please do it for me." So because she loved her sister so much, she did commit to that, but she wound up moving out to the, so far out.
Yeah.
And she put herself in a position where she lived basically way out in the mountains. We're not talking Poconos, we're talking like where nobody is. And she decided to do without a car, do without a phone. She had no idea what she was doing, but she just didn't want to be around people anymore. You know, because she said, after a time, people expect you to get better. She said, "And I'm not getting better." So anyway, long story short, this man, he wound up showing up. She was near death because she was starving and this and that. And something he said to her, she said, "Why did you help me?" And he said, "Because you were in my path." Mm-hmm. That really stuck to me. You know, we often wonder, who should we, Lord, but we're on a journey. And people or animals or whatever it is that are in our path, like Matt always says, if you're doing a good thing, it can't be the devil.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So.
All right. So I want to close and just encourage for those who didn't share today, thank those who did, and encourage those who didn't. This week you'll be faced with many, many opportunities in the people's paths who you cross to share God's faithfulness. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you. As the song that we sang says, Jesus be the center. Jesus be our source. May we continually focus on you. May our faith not be limited by our own abilities, but may our faith be in your ability and in your reliability, in your faithfulness. May we be confident that we can do the works that you did and even greater works, because in truth, it's you that will do it. May we each find ways to cultivate our own faithfulness, to spend time with you, to spend time in your word, and to do the things that you've asked us to do. A little more each day, day by day, week by week, and year by year. We thank you for your ability. Help us to give back to you with our availability. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.